coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach. You're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, sitting here with South Bay J. Cruz. And we are broadcasting live at a top secret location.
Top secret.
Yeah, Redondo Beach. And I haven't been here in a month. I missed three weeks in a row.
Yeah.
It's my first broadcast in August.
This month, yeah.
Yeah, so been a hell of a month. Just crazy things going on. But, in fact, today I had the opportunity to go up to Studio 606.
Yeah.
And decided that I better just jump to the radio show and do this.
We have sound. There we go. And
what's going on?
Plus,
there?
I wasn't feeling on top of my game. I think we have a sound problem here. That snap, crackle, pop was not my knuckles. That was the microphone. Okay, well we're not going to start over. We'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was interesting. I felt obligated, not obligated in a bad way, but obligated in a fun way about coming up here to do this show. And plus, I just had grandkids at my house today.
Yeah.
I wasn't on top of my game anyway. So let's just come over here and hang out. But interesting with, I wrote some notes about why I wasn't here.
Uh-huh.
And the first time was we were in Catalina.
Yeah.
The family went over there. My wife, myself, my two daughters, the two son-in-laws, and two granddaughters. And we had about a ball over there. And we just there like 3 days. And then, sadly enough, the tragedy in the family was Pam's brother, Paul Hoffman, passed away 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago. And we're having a ball over here. I think Paul's haunting this thing here.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, the cool thing was the guy died after 7 years of pancreatic cancer.
That's a long time.
No one does that.
He
was his daughter and his son-in-law are both ER doctors.
Uh-huh.
And they helped guide him through and got great service and great hospitalization. But he finally didn't make it.
That should be okay.
Here we go. And 1, 2, 3. We'll start over again. Anyway, so that was a horrible tragedy. Took a toll on our family. My microphone is, I think it's haunted now, Paul. Quit messing with me. Because my brother-in-law did mess with me all the time. Remember, anytime I was teeing off or something like that, he'd be the guy to talk in the background.
Oh, okay.
And all that. So right now, he's haunting me. But my wife is still having a hard time with it, obviously.
Yeah.
But then last week, I had the opportunity, a buddy of mine, and we're going into Lake Mojave.
Oh, cool.
Another friend of ours has a trailer up there in Cottonwood Cove.
Uh-huh.
And it's about halfway from hell to whatever. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You go to Searchlight, Nevada.
Oh, wow.
So we drove up in his Porsche, my buddy's Porsche, and it was just him and I. And, of course, it's a new super-duper Porsche. I couldn't even afford the tires. But
it's probably a fun ride, though.
It was. It scared the shit out of me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So you ever watch Instagram or something like that, the deadly crashes?
Yeah.
Yeah, you click on those reels or whatever.
Right.
And cars disintegrate. Well, we're doing 150 miles an hour across Route 66.
Yeah.
We're through 29 Palms and out there in Vidal Junction, all these funky little towns.
I was only doing 85 on the I-5 when I came back from Oakland, but you're doing 160.
We were 150.
It's Joe Walsh, man.
Yeah. That's true.
185.
And I saw a license plate like that once. We had a ball going up there. We get in my buddy's boat, though, and the reason we went is I haven't been to Lake Mojave in about 25 years.
Wow.
We go to the river right below there,
uh-huh,
in Laughlin. And I had this goal. I wanted to see Willow Beach and the base of the Hoover Dam again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you always go, because of your mortality. I want to see it one more time in case something happens. I want to see this Hoover Dam from the base.
Yeah.
I have a picture of me when I was like 5 years old on the top of the dam.
Uh-huh.
And I've been back there many times. I've taken a tour down into the dam. But 25 years ago, we took my boat up to the face of the dam,
mm-hmm.
past the signs, so you know you can't go any further.
Can't go any further.
I said, let's just go by real fast, get a picture, and come back.
Uh-huh.
And we would not dare do that now, because after 9/11, there's more security.
Oh, of course.
But anyway, we go up there. No one in my family wanted to ever bother doing it with my boat, because it's too much trouble to tow it up to that lake. And at any rate, we get up there and we said, let's go up for a little sunset cruise for about an hour, because tomorrow we're going to go up to the dam.
Mm-hmm.
We got out of the harbor like less than 100 feet, and that noise that just made for these things, that's what happened. And that boat, it's called the impeller.
Okay.
And it circulates the water, it keeps the boat cool.
Yeah.
And immediately the temperature went up to 280 degrees, which is way too high.
That does not sound good.
So he turned the engine off. He never had an engine problem in his life. This boat's 20-some years old. I go, this is bad timing. Anyway, he calls Vessel Assist.
Mm.
And it's an insurance. They tow your boat.
Okay.
Well, the Vessel Assist boat was 3 hours away.
Oh, wow.
And it's like 5 o'clock. So we flagged down the only other boat we saw. They came over and towed us back in. It wasn't that far. It was maybe half a mile.
Uh-huh.
But we did that. Went to Denny's.
Uh-huh.
In Searchlight for dinner.
Oh, wow.
And we had breakfast for dinner on a Denny's Grand Slam.
Yeah.
I haven't had one of those in 20 years. My wife will not walk into Denny's for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I don't. Anyway, went back, came home the next day. Never got to Hoover Dam.
Wow.
Never got up there. And it just still pisses me off. But that's why. Yeah, it was. I'm holding the microphone here. But it was. If you ever go to Lake Mojave, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
The last maybe 30 miles before the dam is one big canyon.
And oh, cool.
It's Black's Canyon, I believe it is. I didn't do my research. I wasn't going to talk about it, but it's an unbelievable beautiful area. It's like a small Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And the water's like 50 degrees year-round.
That's cool.
So you jump in, you trick the guy with you.
Actually, it was very cold. 50 degrees. Jumping right back out.
When I first jumped in, you think you're Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're walking on
walking. I'm walking on water.
You know, it's 110 degrees outside. It doesn't really feel that good. It just freezes you.
Yeah.
But we never made it to Hoover Dam, and it's just it's a childhood memory, and I want to go back there sometime before I croak.
Uh-huh.
But we'll go back out pretty soon. We make it, and we go out in the Porsche. He had me holding on. I don't know why I'm holding on, because they won't find all your body parts.
Yeah, if you hit something, there's nothing to mess of you.
There's nothing. Nothing to bury. But so that's why my shoes were missing 3 weeks in a row. And back to Hoover Dam.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in Fort Mojave, Arizona, which is directly across from Needles, across this bridge, on 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And my buddy, Mark Hampson, and he comes in, gets me out of bed, and he goes, come off the TV. And I won't tell you what he said.
Yeah.
Really off color. And anyway, it was, everything's going to hell.
Yeah.
But we had, our boats were still in the water. We're there to repair them.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go to the hardware store across the river in Needles to get some parts. And they put a Marine helicopter right in the front of that bridge. And we had to show ID just across the bridge.
Wow.
We go to the hardware store, and I'm asking the guys, those old hardware stores, the guys hang around and talk to you.
Yeah.
And I said, what happens if they blow up Hoover Dam?
Uh-huh.
He goes, why would you ask that?
Yeah.
I go, the only thing on the West Coast we're blowing up is Hoover Dam. What are they going to do with blow up the Hollywood sign?
Right.
And that would destroy the Western Southwest of the United States without Hoover Dam, no water, no power.
Have nothing. Wouldn't make it through. Who knows? It would be up the creek really fast.
It would be bad
with no water.
Yeah, really bad. But he goes, well, if these sirens go off, like hurricane sirens or tsunami sirens, they would have.
Yeah.
He goes, you got 20 minutes to get at least to Needles High School.
Needles High School.
Yeah. And that the river was flowing, and that lake was obviously very full, which it isn't right now. But that was my 9/11. Yeah,
wow.
we got home in about 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours, because There's nobody in the freeway. We're passing CHP.
Yeah.
And that's why I have a little soft spot. I want to go up to Hoover Dam again.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure the boat works. My boat's broken before the impeller.
Uh-huh.
That, it's like a $50 part. It's really hard to get to.
Wow.
And if you don't replace it all the time, it's just rubber and it dries out. It's inside the boat.
Small little thing.
It's a really small thing. And
but
and
it has a big impact.
Well, once, maybe 10 years ago, I didn't have, mine wasn't working properly, and I cracked a block in my motor.
Uh-huh.
It cost me $15,000 for a new motor.
Now, how much does that thing cost if you just replace it? Like 30 bucks, 50?
30 bucks, and I would never do it myself. I'd probably ruin it, but probably about 200 bucks in labor.
All right.
That's yeah, so you got to take care of boats are paying. You know,
you got to pay a little bit, but, you know, 15 grand,
yeah.
250.
Well,
you know, 250.
If I had it happen today, I'd just sink the boat.
Yeah.
I would not sink it. I just would, I'd sell it for scrap because there's no reason to keep it.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it was kind of sad. We got out there. And
damn thing.
This thing here is just this microphone on a stick.
Yeah, it's better if it's angled out over here. That's where the other mic is positioned.
We'll take a break so I can actually relax and you can fix this while you're in a break. How about we do that?
Yeah, well, we can do that now.
Let's do it now. We'll take a break and fix our equipment. We'll be back.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. One hell of a city. And we'd like to thank the folks who feed the kitty.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men knew they could accomplish so much more. If only they were 1,200,000
one.
Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Got a minute? Get your daily news with a lighthearted twist. NewsWatchTV.com is your place to discover the latest trends. See the latest tech gadgets and watch interviews from entertainment to technology and everything in between. Find them on the Discovery Channel, Ion Network, the Internet, but better yet, so you won't miss a trendy minute, subscribe to their YouTube.com NewsWatchTV channel. It's free, so do it now. YouTube.com/NewsWatchTV. The latest and greatest in trending news. Short and sweet, NewsWatchTV.com.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now, 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Welcome back, everyone, to HealthyLife.net. This is still not working.
And we'd like to thank the folks who feed the kitty. But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. One hell of a city. And we'd like to thank the folks who feed the kitty.
All right, you can use these headphones here. They might stretch a little bit better. We're having some humidity and some electronic issues with our microphone. This mic keeps jumping up, hitting Steve in the face. The other microphone.
We're live again?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, this thing doesn't mind its own.
Yeah, it does.
And I hear the echo in the background. So.
It's usually the third-person guest mic, but...
It is, so I could be the third. We could talk in the third person. Steve
Aspel and that guy, Jay.
Yeah, that guy, Jay, they were here. They were talking about all their problems.
I remember your friends Larry and Pam. During the pandemic, you had one of the first Feed the Kitty shows at your house on the lawn, and we're all like outside social distancing, and I'm there just kicking back, and then I hear Larry and Pam come up, and the funniest thing, Larry's just like, well, apparently the barbers haven't reopened in Los Angeles County, as he's like right behind me, and I knew he's
giving you a bad
cracking bad, about
bad.
My hair, you know.
Yeah, hair is getting all really long. You cut it a little bit now, don't you?
Yeah, I finally just kind of came around to that. It's just easier to maintain it, you know. And I reconnect with the person that cuts my hair, so, you know, nice to have some business there. And she keeps it, you know, so it doesn't really look like it's out of control.
Mine's the same way. my wife does it in the garage with a step two buzz cut. Takes you like 15 minutes, is free. And, yeah, I don't go to a barber anymore. Oh, but I wish I had hair. It's a bitch being bald. I don't want to be that guy with a bald head and a ponytail.
Oh, no. What's that comedian Dennis Leary goes, if you're balding and have a ponytail and an earring, he's like, you better be the bass player for Foghat.
That's funny. Yeah, there's like three or four guys. I don't know what's going on. There's three or four guys at the gym I go to that are bald and have the ponytail.
Yeah.
And one is like 2 inches long. One's like a foot.
Ah.
And one guy's pushing 90.
Okay.
I go, he's left over.
Uh-huh.
But this looks ridiculous.
Yeah, if it was the good of that point for me, I'd just
cut it
and just say, you know, I had it for, you know, 60-plus years.
Get rid of it,
I had a good run, you know. I mean, most guys, it goes by the time they're 30, so I'm like, yeah, I'm doing all right.
You know, I was, how would you know? I just was in Mammoth Mountain, and I think I was early 30s.
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah, 30. Let's just say 30. And I wasn't wearing a hat. I was snow skiing.
Okay.
And that evening, my head was on fire. And I go, what's going on here? That's when I first realized I was losing my hair. Oh, it went right through. It was, and none of your friends will tell you you're losing your hair. And I had long hair. Not like yours, but it was long over my ears. Anyway, time to trim it back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when it starts going, it goes fast. And my brother Greg, he still has a full head of hair. He's 67, 68.
More. It's random, you know. You have the same parents, same genes, and, you know, one person keeps the hair, the other one doesn't.
I know. It's just, you know what, it's actually easier. But it's not having to comb your hair.
Yeah, less money in shampoo.
Yeah, we're two dudes. I'm 71 years old. Talking about hair.
Talking about ponytail.
Holy moly. Yeah, we used to talk about we used to talk about all kinds of more fun stuff than that.
Yeah.
So what else has been going on here? I meant to say one of the days I had to miss. I didn't have to miss. It was I started this project before we went to Catalina. Repairing a door in my backyard, my back door. At the base of the frame on both sides, it kind of corroded out. It's not metal, it's wood.
Yeah.
But it's looking like hell. And it turns out it's rot and termites.
Termites.
You know, termites.
Same going on at the front door of the top secret location.
Oh, my. Really? Well,
you mention it to the landlord, and, you know, he's just looking at that rent.
Yeah, oh, yeah, don't mention it.
Yeah.
It's like turning a claim in on your insurance.
Right.
But I started a little bit at a time, picking at it, and seeing what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I've lived with it for all these years, and decided I'm going to fix it. Well, that's been almost a month-long project.
Right.
I finally completed this morning. I got some paint on the door.
Okay.
But I took all the wood off, everything off, started over. The more you dig in, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
But got it all fixed up. All the termite stuff is gone.
That's good.
And the bad wood's gone, and I learned a lot. I got my router out, made these fancy little cuts, and it actually looks pretty good. And Pam says, I'm the only one that will notice the flaws.
Mm-hmm.
So I then make like 20 trips to Lowe's because I bought for the frame. I cut it about an inch too short.
Okay.
And she goes, just cut the other piece of wood off and stick it at the bottom. And then put putty in there. And I did.
Uh-huh.
And I could see it. it's like having a wart in the middle of my nose. I can see it. Nobody else will, you know, nobody else, when they saw it, they wouldn't mention it. And now they're coming into my house to grade me.
Yeah.
And even though we have people that do. But, yeah, it got to be a, I was out in my front yard with my router. I don't do it in the garage because I don't want to clean up the mess.
Right.
And my saws and my router, this one guy came by all the time. I don't even know him. He's always riding his bike by. He came by one day about three weeks ago and gave me a plastic container full of about 100 router bits.
Ah.
And they're really good. Mm-hmm. And they cost about $40 to $50 each.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what do I deserve this for? I'll never use them all. He goes, I have thousands. I was in my business for a long time.
Okay.
And I see you out here doing this all the time. I see the bits you're using are from Amazon or something like that. They're cheap and they don't last long.
Yeah.
You donate them to my cause. It's kind of cool.
That's so cool.
That's why you do your work out on the lawn. You just kind of like white trashy, clean it up. That's just the way we do it. But, yeah, I was pretty proud of myself. And now we got to do a window. And I was never a handyman growing up.
Me either.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, we came back from Hong Kong, and you know, school year was kind of still in session.
Yeah.
So the counselor gives me a bunch of classes, and I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, now I want to electives. I'm like, wood shop. He's like, sure, wood shop. So I go into wood shop, and I've got to take this test, safety test for all these tools. But I wasn't there for the safety test, so I was kind of like going off of like. Common sense.
Right.
Apparently, I was a little short on common sense, so I wasn't allowed to use, you know, proper tools during wood shop.
Oh.
Like, I was only allowed to use a couple things. One of those routers? Nope, couldn't use
way.
Those. So, like, anyway, so I ended up, you know, not doing very well on that. And, of course, I just, at that point, I'm like, yeah, maybe mechanical engineering is not for me anyway. So I.
Yeah, my dad was an engineer, and he was a handy, but I didn't inherit that trait, but I've learned over the years, I have a router and a routing table and stuff, and it's really a trip once you start figuring it out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I went to parochial school and played at Ray St. Bernard's High School. Not unfortunately, I went there, but the fact they don't have any shops.
Okay.
You got to learn algebra, which can really help you in your future.
Yeah, when you're going to build a bird habitat or fix your door.
I make my monarch butterfly cages. We don't go in fractions on that.
General repairs around the house that we're kind of expected to do is handyman.
Yeah. Some of these high schools, especially the one I went to, they taught you how to figure out the hypotenuse of this or the pi or whatever.
The hypotenuse.
And I... not how to balance a checkbook.
No.
And they didn't teach you how to screw a light bulb in.
No.
Or light things.
You know.
They didn't have auto shop and shop. Yeah.
I'm actually kind of happy that they taught us government and civics, you know, how to take a class on the Constitution. I don't know if they teach that anymore. I'm kind of wondering. I don't think they do. There's a lot of people coming up that seem to have very creative interesting outlooks that didn't align with the way I was taught. Learning the same thing back in just the eighth grade.
You've got a good point. I don't know what they teach. Yeah. Now I have grandkids ready to go to school. But we do know, my wife and I know, that we don't know crap about raising
our
kids.
Generations.
Because I asked my daughters, well, you guys came out pretty good. Well, world's changed. We don't do that stuff. They don't want to hear about no seatbelts, metal dashboards, parents smoking and drinking in the car.
Yeah.
Driving across the desert with a canvas water bag and sitting there with no seatbelts in the back of the station wagon.
Right.
Now, my granddaughter's car seat, I think it costs like $1,000.
Wow.
It can go to outer space and back. Well, unless you're that new company that you don't get to come back.
Well.
Like a company of Tesla.
We'll be back until February 2025.
Yeah. But the... no sugar, no nothing. You know, we had, on our boat, both of my daughters were raised on the boat every summer, and they would go to sleep under the dashboard. I don't even know what you call it, a boat dock.
Uh-huh.
And take naps down there. It might be 120 degrees, so they still take naps. And when they got hot, Pam or myself would grab them by the arm and dunk them.
Mm-hmm.
And just dip them in the lake or the river, pull them back out, and they go back to take a nap.
Yeah.
But now you only can allow them about an hour out there, go back to the place with the air conditioning, have them take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And now they take a nap at my house, at these tents.
Mm.
And you have to have the sound machine to make waves.
Okay.
which to me sounds like just annoying background music. Background.
It would probably make me have to go to the restroom hearing these water waves.
So it is. And
because I remember we used to have the lullaby, you know, rockabye baby, you know, the little, the little melody and the little thing that spin around with a happy little monkey and the blocks and, you know, just the little toys, you know, ABC toys that we would, you know, on the little mobiles, they'd call them, they'd hang above our, above
the string might
crib
break.
And
it might come down, it might strangle them. The something on that mobile would be racist or anti-LGP, whatever it's called.
Sure.
And I'm saying this, sound like some Trumpster here. I'm more liberal than most people.
Uh-huh.
And it just drives me crazy.
But that used to be common. Now it's like apparently it was bad.
Yeah.
Could have killed us.
I watch TV with my grandkids, and they have to watch it on YouTube and Netflix and all these other, not a regular TV.
Right.
You know, when you were a kid, you got Johnny Quest or something where people were getting shot.
Right.
And
violent cartoons. Well, Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam.
Well, Yosemite Sam, Roadrunner.
Yeah.
But now it's all happy singing.
Mm-hmm.
Their vocabulary is pretty good for two years old, more than my kids were.
That's good.
But they know what they mean, too. They're not just being a puppet.
Okay.
And I have to watch it, though, but after about 15 minutes, I'd just rather go get an enema in the middle of a freeway or something than watch these shows.
Right.
And they're all so perfectly politically correct.
Yeah.
And it's just so annoying.
I saw this meme the other day, and dad's like, hey, saying to his daughter, he's like, hey, you want to watch the football game with me tonight? She's like, no, Dad, I can't stand watching football. He's like, I watched The Little Mermaid 1,386 times with you. You're going to watch the game
that's
with me
funny,
tonight.
That's
We're
true.
Bonding.
That's amazing. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, my kids are sports in the sports, so that's fine.
Yeah. Or whatever it is.
It's amazing.
Movie or, you know, Dancing with the Stars. Or dads always want to watch a game.
I had to watch Beauty and the Beast, 1,000. I can sing the song. The father-daughter
dance. You had it at the dance.
My daughter, yes. But you get them to watch a football game with me? No. Mm-hmm. My daughter Katie won't. She doesn't care less. Well, she likes the Packers. But we don't know anything. And the amount of money that they spend, or any parent spends on the equipment to raise their kids.
Yeah.
Is beyond belief, and I don't know how they would do it if we didn't babysit half the time.
Right.
Because babysitter, my daughter went to the Dodger game last Friday night, and we were already keeping one of my grandkids overnight.
Okay.
So she didn't want to leave our house. It cost her, for the Dodger game, cost her $150 for a babysitter.
Wow.
It's not like you getting $5 an hour anymore.
I was going to say, I didn't make that back in my short-lived babysitting career.
$150, I know they tipped her. And I go,
make that the house sit.
You went to, yes, I know.
I mean, I'll sit in your house with your pets for a weekend, and maybe I'll make that.
Oh, I might have to use, you pay $50 a day. Right now, there's one lady.
That's pretty darn fair.
That keeps them at her house. Anyway,
okay.
The kids, I lost my train of thought thinking about that damn dog. Last night, my wife and I were going to make a flank steak.
Mm.
And she marinated it all up. And I put it on a plate way away from the counter. I walked out in the garage for like less than a minute. Came back, Pam goes, where's the flank steak? The dog, it's like a 3-pound flank steak.
Wow.
I don't know how he ate it all. She ate it. I searched the house. I searched the backyard. Said she could not have eaten this whole thing. And, you know, I wanted to kick the hell out of her, but I wouldn't kick her anyway. But
right.
She has no idea what she did. And my wife...
Like, you can't say you're going to pay for that steak?
My wife was furious. And so I went over to Bonds again and bought a small one just so we could have something like that.
Yeah.
And I was pounding, well, that's... Damn dog just cost me $30. I was pissed off. You can't leave anything laying out with anyone. Kids,
no.
Kids, dogs.
Yeah.
And we watched my one granddaughter. They have a dog, too.
Uh-huh.
Golden Retriever. They have to drop their dog off at our house.
Okay.
They will just leave it in the backyard. So last Friday was hell. Well, the day I came back from Lake Mojave, my wife, we had two grandkids there and an extra dog. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I said, I came back 2 days early just to basically score some points. Why sit around a trailer? Can't do anything. And the casino at Searchlight is in the Denny's.
That's pretty funny.
You can get a Grand Slam and a White Russian. It's really good for you. And
gamble.
And gamble. We didn't gamble. I didn't gamble one thing.
You're already gambling at Denny's.
Yeah, it's actually weird, like, but
it's a big roller.
The Searchlight is, if you ever have the opportunity, go around it. There's nothing there. They have signs up, 25 miles an hour.
Okay.
You're coming off of whatever the highway is, it goes from...
Doing 100.
Yeah.
Or one...
It comes from I-40.
Well past 100.
This is on the way to Vegas, so people are flying.
Mm-hmm.
And they have cops sitting up there like a Le Mans start. They're waiting for you to go by it.
Yeah.
And I told Don, I said, you're driving this fancy Porsche. They're going to love to light you up.
Of course.
So we're going through the town at 24 miles an hour, which mm-hmm. is almost like walking.
Right. Still in first gear, practically.
But, it's since I'm still rambling on it, I have no notes. I have nothing. My daughter, Brett, she hates the story. She was conceived in Lake Mojave.
Okay.
We were camping in 1991. She was born in 93. And the ranger came by, running by.
Hmm.
He goes, batten down the hatches, get your tent out of here, take it down, and get your food off the grill.
Okay.
Look, it's sunny. He goes, you got 5 minutes.
Wow.
He kept going. No, I'm not kidding. About 5 minutes later, a superstorm came in. The hamburgers just vaporized from the grill. The tent went away.
Wow.
And we already had Katie, and she was about a year old. And so it took, and my two other kids, stepkids, we all went up to that Denny's. I don't know if it was a Denny's back then. It was in 1992. And we had dinner. Came back, and I was pouting.
Mm-hmm.
All my camping equipment, everything was gone.
That sucks.
It did suck. So my wife said, this is a bad time. I did buy a little tent up there by that Denny's. Put the kids in it. We had a white van, the golden mm-hmm. tourist van. She goes, it's a bad time. I said, well, I don't care. So my daughter, I should have called her Mojave. That's where she was conceived.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, it's pouting. Oh, yeah, it's a pouting boink.
Uh-huh.
So my wife said, the only way it's going to calm me down is that. And it's good to be young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they hate that story. But it was, I have a lot of history at Lake Mojave. I keep going back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this little one-hour adventure through electronic hell.
It's been odd today. Sorry about that.
So what else is going on here? I haven't followed football at all. How are your Raiders doing?
You know, we'll see. They finished last year with a great defense and, you know, turned things around. You know, critics are kind of questioning the quarterback play, although the guy that they signed, he was with the Colts last year, and he's kind of a journeyman, Gardner Minshew,
which is just
a odd name for a quarterback, Gardner Minshew III. But
he's an odd dude.
When I first started watching him, I think he was a backup, and it was before Trevor Lawrence, I think, was with the Jaguars. Course, yeah. The Jaguars had some other quarterback who... basically got hurt, so they threw in this Gardner Minshew guy who was kind of a rookie, and he played pretty well, you know. I mean, he was decent, and he just had this, like, kind of Kenny Stabler attitude. Like, he's got a dad who, you know, probably shows up drunk to the games, and he played for, like, Coach Mike Leach in the Pac, what was Washington State?
Poland.
Yeah, up in Washington State, and that guy's always been a bit of a character, but a very good offensive coach, so... But this guy's just had an interesting makeup. You know, he's just kind of a cool guy. I've always rooted for him. And then he's traveled around a couple different teams. And I kind of get to the point of the Raiders. And, you know, but for a while I've been thinking, because there was the whole Derek Carr thing for years. And, you know, half the fans didn't even like him because he wasn't winning enough and this and that. And I was like, you know, the Raiders need to go out and find a dude like Rich Gannon. When they found Rich Gannon, he was very good for them. This was, you know, back about 20 years ago. But Rich Gannon had played for the Vikings. He played for the Chiefs. Journeyman, played about three or four teams. And then, you know, he got the starting job with the Raiders. And him and Gruden were kind of on the same page. But I was like, when they signed Gardner Minshew, I'm like, first of all, I always thought there was some Kenny Stabler in this guy's
really?
DNA.
Okay.
Like, you know,
is he a lefty?
He's not.
Okay.
But, you know, he just had the kind of beard and the hair and a little bit of the attitude. You know, he's kind of a gunslinger, not quite like Brett Favre, but, you know, a little more Stabler.
Right.
Just picked up from that. So he was with Jacksonville, then he's with the Eagles. Last year he was with the Colts. Played much of the season with the Colts because their quarterback was out most of the year. And they signed him in the offseason. And, you know, leading up to the draft, of course, there's a lot of, you know, fans were hoping they'd, you know, draft a quarterback. So there's a lot coming out this year, but, you know,
right.
Every team's like, well, if you want to do that, we would like this in return. And they'd already signed this guy, and I'm thinking, I think he's going to be better than people think, you know, because he's dying to be a starting quarterback and, like, stay somewhere.
I've seen him. I've watched him on various games.
Yeah. You know, and he's been the backup on other teams, you know.
One of those sports shows, or 60 Minutes, or maybe it was... with Brian Gumbel, they had the show on HBO.
Uh-huh.
They did a special on that Leach and Gardner Minshew when he's a Pullman.
Okay.
That's the only reason I remember him. And he was a goofy guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these stars that come out of USC or wherever, UCLA,
right.
They're no longer around.
Yeah.
They're the first round draft picks. So the last guys are good. Gardner Minshew, I hope he does well.
And then, yeah, so, I mean, I think he's going to do okay. I just don't think the press or the, you know, people covering football are very impressed with him just because he hasn't done so much. But actually, I saw another article that compared his statistics to Trevor Lawrence, who just got, like, the biggest contract for
right.
a quarterback. Minshew's numbers are just as good, if not better.
Huh.
And he's only making $7 million, where the other guy's making...
only making $7 million a year.
Right. Yeah, poor man. The other guy's making like $40 million above that, and they have the same numbers. So
there's only a few players that can play quarterback.
That's it.
In the whole world.
You know, and then I actually have a fantasy sports draft tonight, and it's going to be interesting because our league has a position where we have two quarterbacks we can start. So
okay,
that's going to be interesting because they're expensive, you know, and people, and it's an auction draft. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a long draft tonight, starting at about 4:30. But I kind of enjoy it.
I stay out of that.
Yeah.
I stay away from that one. I'd be addicted too fast.
Yeah.
I got to have DraftKings and stuff like that. I do one other site.
Okay. Like FanDuel or?
Cole. No, you know the guy.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, I think I broke even last year. I lost $100, but I've got $25 and stuff like that.
Okay.
Some buddies of mine bet thousands, and I can't handle that.
Most I've ever put on a game, I think, was 50 one time, and that was on the Cowboys when they had Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
That's what $50 is $50, too.
Yeah.
A lot more money.
But the funny thing is, I had just won they were like the 1 o'clock game, and me and my friends were in Vegas, and it's like, I ended up losing. But, I mean, the minute that I won the other bet, I literally, like, okay, and put that 50 on the Cowboys to beat the Eagles. Not even 5 minutes later, Philadelphia's up 14-0 at the beginning of the game. I'm like,
I think you're safe to bet on any team but the Cowboys, especially in the playoffs.
No.
They suck. I just don't like them.
Back then with Emmitt Smith, they were pretty good.
They were $10 billion, number one franchise in the world.
In sports, I know, even taking over the English soccer Real Madrid.
There's no reason for them not to spend money because people still want to go see them.
Yeah.
They don't have to get the best of everybody. The other... quarterbacks. Oh, watch this movie last night. American Underdog.
Okay.
It's pretty good. If you know the story about Kurt Warner, it's a terrific story.
Oh, yeah.
And it was goofy. The movie, sappy, goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a pretty clean living guy. He's not going to.
It wasn't. I loved the movie.
Yeah.
A little tearjerkers at the end. It was great. But it's not one of your cutting edge movies. You're not watching The Bourne Identity or something. You're watching it's about Kurt Warner and his rise to the Hall of Fame or winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie. And the guy was a hell of a stud. He's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And, you know, had different circumstances, he might have won 5 Super Bowls, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those guys that might have won. But
mm-hmm.
an amazing story. If you have a chance, And you don't mind a little, it's a little, like, Pam, my wife called it Women's Lifetime.
Yeah.
It's another Lifetime station. Yeah,
I can see that.
So clean cut.
Yeah.
And
clean cut, church going guy, was bagging groceries.
Yeah.
Playing for the Iowa Barnstormers. And then
he wasn't a famous quarterback yet, so his wife wasn't exactly, you know, Miss July.
Right.
And but he adopted these kids, and they're special needs kids, and or one of them was, or is, and then he had their own. But you know, he was supposed to be the greatest guy in the world. And that's about a quarterback that made it. He's like 28 or something.
Yeah. You know, that first year when he started, what were the Rams called, the greatest show on turf?
They were.
They were so good.
You know, it's amazing. And I wasn't cheering for them at first because of
they're the, St. Louis, first of all.
Oh, F them. They, right. they ditched me. Mm-hmm. That's when we picked up the Packers.
Right.
You know, I still was kind of happy they beat the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And you got to love Kurt Warner. I was like, my wife caught me cheering last year for the 49ers because of Brock Purdy. I go, how can I cheer against that guy?
Yeah.
Because he's just so improbable.
Another underdog, long shot story.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just.
Or a guy like Caleb Williams, the number one pick in Chicago out of USC. I mean, that's someone like seeing you root for the Bears, especially as a Packer fan.
Can't do it. The problem is he's also from USC.
Yeah.
And they've never had anybody. The only quarterback they've ever had in the Super Bowl, as far as I can remember, is Rob Johnson, backup player for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And
they lost four in a row.
Yeah.
not because of him.
The whole team.
Yeah.
And wide right.
Norwood.
But I like watching these kind of feel-good stories of the guard-to-guard New Minshew.
Right.
And Rich Gannon was kind of a cool story back in those days. Was he in L.A.?
I was back in Oakland. I've been back in Oakland for a while.
Okay.
So.
And I don't know. Every team's got a couple goofballs on it that shouldn't be there. Because they're cheap. They paid one guy $70 million bucks or something. They only got to pay the other guy $500,000.
You know, they're dying for those guys. That's what training camp's all about is, you know, finding those guys.
You're sitting there with a guy that makes more in a quarter of the game than you make in the entire year.
I know.
And it's kind of weird.
In fact, speaking of Caleb Williams and the Bears, I haven't watched the latest episode, but I'm trying to keep up on the Hard Knocks HBO show.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. They had one with the Giants, which was completely weird because I was like off-season Giants, and I'm like, I don't know how that team's functioning. That general manager is like, I don't know what he knows about football. It's just negotiating was interesting. But the Bears, you know, anyway, so they have this tradition in training camp with rookies. They usually go up in training camp, introduce themselves to the team, you know, usually in nighttime when they're having, like, meetings or, you know, whatever, team building stuff. And they're all pretty much required to go up and sing a song. They used to have to go up and sing their college fight song.
Right.
But then, you know, so many guys just transferred colleges. Now they just sing.
Yeah, they have four colleges.
Just sing a song, you know, or go up there and entertain us or whatever. But, you know, they had Caleb Williams. He's up there. And the thing was, you had to say, you know, who you are, what school you came from, what's your signing bonus. And he's like, Caleb Williams, USC. $25.5 million. You just see all the teammates just rolling out of their chairs, just like, oh my God. And this other guy later, he's this big white guy trying to make the team, obviously not as touted as Caleb Williams. He's up there, he's a lineman, you know, he's a blocker. He's up there and he like rips off his clothes and he's just there in his underwear, but his signing bonus, $40,000.
Well,
you know, which I'll take $40,000 to, you know, sign a signing bonus to take a
$40,000 right now. A lot of people can't base your life on what other people make.
Yeah,
Caleb Williams, I think, made more money in college than most players make in a lifetime.
I was reading an article yesterday about how Ohio State has a $20 million budget for their college team this year to win the national championship.
Now, you mean they actually can pay the players?
NIL.
I thought the players got paid for T-shirts and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Call it name, image, and likeness.
Right.
But the school pays them like, you know, quarterbacks are making $1 million. You know, and they get paid for that. And then the college just, you know, uses their name, image, likeness, whatever. and they just pay them. And maybe they don't use their name, image, likeness, and they just pay them, you know.
Yeah, I read some of them get paid all his money and don't even play.
Yeah.
Like Archie Manning's son.
Archie Manning's son. He's grandson. Not even the starting quarterback. Yeah. Not even the starter. And, you know.
And they can transfer.
Immediately. Like, they used to have to sit out a year.
Right.
And, you know, like, there's some game I was listening to the other day, watching, and, you know, some guy played, like, for, like, three colleges. And I'm like,
right.
He played, you know, first 2 years here, junior season, and then, you know. And I'm like, you know, they just wait until, you know, someone graduates. Like, take Alabama, for instance. They've been a factory for the last 20 years. Nick Saban, he's one of the winningest coaches in college. He stepped down last year, and part of it had to do with this NIL, because he's like, I can't afford to just pay players. We used to just recruit them because we were good and we were the best, and now maybe they had to pay some players, but now you have to pay everybody, and it's,
yeah,
you
they
know,
paid them back then.
Pretty much known. So he resigned. The new coach came in, but immediately, like, 20 guys of Alabama are just like, I'm going somewhere else. Just transfer, just because they didn't have the coach they wanted, or new coaches coming in, they weren't guaranteed a certain thing. And other colleges are like, well, you were on our list, and you're still on our list, so, yeah, we'll start you next year at this, you know?
I was watching the beginning of the football game, the one they played in Dublin.
Oh, Saturday, the college game.
I was at the gym. I had my headset on. I put a TV on. It was elliptical.
Yeah.
And anyway, they said the quarterback, this was, I think, his fourth school.
Yeah.
A senior or something.
I believe, somewhere in the valley. Like one of these big, high-powered, like, Bosco, you know, one of these big,
right.
Big Catholic schools that are kind of doing NIL for high school kids.
Bosco, my neighbors went to Bosco.
Uh-huh.
It's a hell of a drive.
Yeah.
From Redondo Beach.
Yes.
And when I was a kid, Bosco was where no one wanted to go to Bosco.
Right.
Because it's a crappy part of town. It's crap. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is what it is. And now all the football players want to go there.
Yeah.
And the real smart kids were football players with Loyola High School, which is
mm-hmm.
a long way downtown L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But Bosco was not known for anything fancy.
Yeah.
The big school out in the valley, or eastern side of Los Angeles, was Bishop Aumont.
Oh, yeah?
That's where the Pat Hayden and McKay went.
Okay.
Yeah, and my school was known for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we had Mario Salato. He played in the Raiders in their Super Bowl.
Oh, cool.
He was a class behind, two classes behind me at St. Bernard's. And he got drafted by the Buffalo Bills out of SC.
Uh-huh.
He played for like 10 years. He was in the Super Bowl at the Rose Bowl when the Raiders beat the Vikings.
Oh, Minnesota.
Yeah, so I haven't seen him since high school. I just remember the name because I met him in high school.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got a few more minutes left. We've been playing this last weekend. Pam and I went over to El Segundo Art Walk.
Yeah, I saw a video of that.
Yeah, pet project. We couldn't find it.
Mm.
It was, we found the art walk, but we couldn't find the stage. It was in a place called Sleepy Hollow. On Eucalyptus Street.
Okay.
And I go, where are they? We walk by two nice stages where the food and the booze is, and they were put over the stage where nothing is.
No.
There's still a lot of people down in there.
Yeah.
They bring their beer, you walk around with beer and stuff, and we weren't bothered with that. We finally found them. I'd ask the police, where is where's this other stage?
Uh-huh.
And they go, it's right down there. You get about 100 feet away, you'll be able to hear it.
Yeah.
And they'd started. But it was really good. And ended up knowing a lot of people there. But a unique thing, we went there last Thursday to the Portofino Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And they were playing at Baleen. They were playing, which is a restaurant there, a restaurant bar.
Yeah.
They were playing in the main lobby of the hotel, which is overlooking the real ocean, not just the harbor.
Okay.
Sunset down there. And it was really good. I knew like three people.
Nice.
I didn't know it from any Feed the Kitty fans, just people that end up going there, Redondo Beach people.
Yeah.
And they have a little bar, beautiful bar with one bartender, and you couldn't get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I met the manager. I said, you better figure this out. You're never going to get anybody come back.
Right.
It was a nice crowd. It was great, a little concert they put on for 2 hours. And then Friday night, we were babysitting. Didn't go to our tent.
Yeah.
So... And then this Friday, we have our top secret location. Okay,
right.
I can't talk. Our top secret location for a little
You're doing great, actually, considering you had the mic hit you in the face like four times. The first mic, I don't even know what's going on with that thing. I'm going to have to look into that the rest of this afternoon.
I'm losing my voice. Yeah, I told you I'm not feeling on top of my game here.
Yeah.
So we got 11 minutes. We're going to make 10. I think my voice is going away. Anyway, well, man, they're doing great. I wanted to go today, and they're recording something just to hang out.
But yeah.
It was interesting. We having this party for them, a limited engagement private party. I told people, if you're invited, do not spread the word. I don't have enough room.
And I said, well, everyone just tells one person, and it's like you've been told not to tell anybody.
Because I don't want to be an a-hole.
Right.
I mean, how come you didn't invite me? Well, yesterday when I go to the store to buy the replacement steak, flank steak, I see this guy, really good guy. And he goes, oh, I heard from your friend. I went, oh. Well, last Friday, while we're babysitting, our side door opens up and two people walk in.
Oh, boy.
I goes, you don't read closely, do you? Well, I just thought you meant this coming Friday. I said, whatever. So they stuck around and drank their wine.
That's too funny.
And told them to go. But then he goes, yeah, she told me she went through your house by accident. I went, you want to come? I said, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
But yeah, we I don't want to have the white snake. Is that what kind of white snake? Great white.
Oh,
fire.
Sure.
We're on the second floor. We have a skinny stairway going mm-hmm. down to basically going through our laundry room.
Right.
And there was a fire in the laundry room. We got dead people. I can get you out of the house. But I have one of those chain ladders hooks up to the window. People yeah. climb out, but. Before you die of a fire, you're only jumping from, you know, 15 feet. So,
yeah. You know, so you won't die. You just break both your legs.
Break your ankles. Yeah.
You'll lift a knee, an ankle.
Yeah. You'll be
maybe
fine.
A femur.
You'll be fine. But she said, don't have any more people. My wife's going, Steve, this is growing too big. So
yeah.
But one of the guys we invited randomly, saw him at HD Grill last Sunday. They're playing
uh-huh.
outside.
Uh-huh.
He goes, who do I Venmo money to? I said, at Pam Aspel, whatever it's called. I don't know, Pam gave it to him.
Yeah.
He paid him $500.
Wow.
One dude.
Well, I guess he's invited.
I guess, well, I told him, the band, you'll make up more money here than you ever do playing at HT Grill.
Yeah, really?
But that's Friday. My wife started going, you know what the cleanup is, Steve? It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work. And, you know, it's, whether the band's your band, their band, or Aerosmith, they're not cleaning up.
Yeah, we did that block party, and you know the most fun at the end of the day is like, okay, now we got to clean up. You know,
clean up. You put your stuff.
We moved stuff back to the garage. It was Jose's house where we practice anyway.
Where was the block party? Sorry.
It's in El Camino Village in Lawndale.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, on Corderi Avenue where he lives.
Corderi.
I call it Corderi.
Corderi. That's the best kept secret in Lawndale, that area right there.
It is. Yeah. People don't realize that's a good little area. You know, and both my friends are either, both of them have just finally paid off their houses or are very close to making the final payment. Yeah. So they're pretty stoked.
Of course.
You know, they're still fairly young and about to be completely free and clear of any payments and stuff, yeah. any more payments. At least on that. Something always pops up.
God, yeah, we always have something pop up. I told my wife the other day, we were talking about these big mansion houses or whatever.
Yeah.
I go, we had a lot of friends that kept every couple of years moving.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on up to the south side or whatever it is, east side, and then all of a sudden they're still paying through their ears. So, yeah, we lived in the same house for the last 30-some years because I don't want to... Probably cost ourselves a lot of money by not moving on up, especially with the inflation of housing.
Yeah.
But it's still better. My little dumpy old house, beach house, is fine.
Yeah, I like your house.
Yeah.
Great spot, great lot.
That's great, everything. I do. We're not going to leave, but if we ever decided to leave, we could. They have those new laws in California because of the shortage of housing.
Yeah.
I could legally build 9 units.
Wow.
You could, three houses. They can now be duplexes and one ADU per place.
Wow.
My neighbors, I have to leave.
Yeah.
This would absolutely kill me. But speaking about leaving, it's kind of a, you know, payback's a bitch kind of thing.
Yeah.
Karma. there's a cool place on the pier, the hot dog and a stick place.
Yeah, I like that place. You know,
it's closing.
I saw that, and the funny thing is, that's like my favorite place. I like to go get a hot dog and a cheese dog.
See, you said you're eating healthy now.
You know, actually, I went to one summer concert this year, and I'm like, I wonder if I can get away with one of those. And I did, and I was okay.
All right, well,
you know, but like, they're just so tasty, and I'm like, I just like, that's my munchie at the pier.
Yeah, I love,
you know?
I love corn dogs.
I love that place.
But I've
gone there for years.
They're closing.
I saw that.
Well, interestingly enough, when I was mayor, we're going through that CenterCal debacle with this the new waterfront project. This guy didn't like it because he thought he'd be put out of business.
Yeah.
So he campaigned heavily against me and CenterCal.
Wow.
Signs up, petitions.
So outside of me, I guess not enough people supported that place.
Well, they did for the last 7 or 8 years, apparently. But we kept telling them, if this goes through, you're keeping your same building. Well, that building was not going to change.
Yeah.
And there's going to be checks and balances for rents.
Yeah.
And nope, you're destroying my pier. Well, guess what? There's no customers.
Right.
Because nobody, you know, you went there once in a while to buy a hot dog and watch the concerts.
Only every couple of months. I mean, not like a weekly.
Exactly, but people don't go there. You go to all these other places that company builds that are packed all the time.
Yeah.
Not overpacked where you're miserable, just people are, it's a happy place to go.
Yeah.
So the guy's losing his business.
Yeah.
And you know what, Carb? You shouldn't have got everybody to vote against us.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't see how people who own the business could have, like, voted against development. I mean, my whole thing, I remember getting polls, you know, phone calls, you know, and people were asking me my opinion, and I was like, I knew you, and I knew you were involved, but I was, you know, the questions they asked, I just answered them honestly, and I'm like, you know, I think there's going to be more jobs coming to the South Bay. There's, you know, people need jobs, even adults, not just high school kids who need some, you know, gas money.
Right.
It's like, you know, we've got, you know, people in the service industry who are, like, working, you know, 3 or 4 jobs. If they can work one down there and have to work, you know, it's just more opportunity. You know, plus it's the Redondo Pier. You know, my uncle and my dad used to love that place. I mean, it was their kind of old stomping ground, so it's got a sweet, soft spot for me. Because they, you know, they tore it up. They probably ran into some of Redondo's finest back in their day.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, there's better bars back there in those days, too, before the pier burnt.
Yeah, so, you know, and then when I first moved here, I was staying in a place not too far from there, and I kind of would do some job interviews, and then I'd go hang out at the pier with my phone, hoping for a phone call or looking at what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Right.
And I would just go, I'm going to go hang out at the pier because I'm like 3 blocks away. Why not?
Exactly.
You know, so I love that place, and I still like it better than the other options. I like it better than the Hermosa Pier. Hermosa Pier is what it is. It's skewed a little young for me. I like to go there in the daytime or for certain things, but past 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, unless I'm already planning on doing something, like maybe, you know, pet project or Feed the Kitty Show or some others, I'm not going down there.
Nope.
It's just not for me.
Paul Hennessy, on the show, he called Hermosa Beach Pier Avenue where the debris meets the sea.
Yeah.
And it's better now.
Yes.
You can't drive. They do drive around on e-bikes.
Yeah.
It's taken over by e-bikes.
Now. Yeah. So you got to watch out for that, you know. And it's like if you've been, you know, having a few, you know, unless you want to come out and walk and having to dodge an e-bike.
No.
They're not looking for you, apparently, which.
Well, yeah, they're looking to run you over, some of these kids. I don't think old man to get off my lawn, but these guys are a pain in the ass.
Some of them have taken things too far.
Yeah. You could. No one stops. No one does anything. I mean, you don't wear a helmet. You know, it's just your bikes. I mean, they're motorcycles.
They are.
Oh, well.
They really are.
So, I think my voice is really done.
Okay.
If you can tell. We have to probably sign up a minute or
just about that time.
It is about that time. Usually we go overtime. But everybody listening, we had malfunctions.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with mic one. That's actually mic three.
My voice is going. I'm under the influence of nothing, so I still can't make a sentence.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Well, I don't have any drugs in me. I don't have cold medicine or anything, nothing. But it's it really feels weird.
Oh, yeah, I got some cookies when I was in Oakland. I left them up there. They're really good.
Oh, I have to. God, I get my wife's going to make us some more.
They were pretty good. Yeah, we went to a little place there. It's actually called Cookies. It's the name of the place in Hayward that we went to. And
nice.
Yeah.
How much were they?
They're like $40 for about 20 cookies.
Okay.
Something like that. Or 10 or 20.
Yeah, my mom. Time to check out. I'm still calling her my mom. My yeah. wife make you some cookies.
All right.
All right, everybody, we're done.
See Absolutely.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. Woo! One hell of a city.